more Idaho Matters from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. When you think of climate change, you might not think about people who suffer from asthma, but many of the inhalers that help people with lung issues breathe can actually create greenhouse gases. St. Luke's Regional Health System is holding a series of talks on medicine and climate change. And the first one, Climate Smart Asthma Care, will happen tomorrow, and it will include some possible alternatives that might reduce the carbon footprint of folks with asthma. So joining us now to talk more about this is Dr. Ethan Sims, an emergency department physician with St. Luke's and medical director of sustainability, as well as Dr. Greg Fury, a primary care physician and medical director for climate and sustainability at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Thanks, Jenna.
So Dr. Sims, let me start with you. Why is St. Luke's looking at climate change and medicine?
I think for a number of reasons. One is because as the summers have gotten hotter and drier, and we've seen more and more wildfires come in, it's become more apparent to patients and staff working and getting care at St. Luke's that especially increased heat and wildfire smoke are already impacting our health. So patients and staff want St. Luke's to consider this. You know, there are other reasons that benefit St. Luke's from doing this as well. You know, sustainable medicine reduces costs to patients in the healthcare system itself, and provides a big community benefit. And, you know, we at St. Luke's are part of the community here, and that's part of our goal is to provide good community care.
Mm-hmm. And Dr. Sims, what brought you to the topic of asthma inhalers and climate change? Because I have to say, when I heard about this, I had no idea that this was an issue. And with that said, I mean, I have family members with asthma, and I mean, this is a needed necessity, our inhalers.
Yeah, likewise. I had no concept of this until I met Greg at a conference last year called Clean Med. It's a leading conference on sustainability and medicine. And Greg has been working on this topic for much longer than I have, and really educated me about the importance of the appropriate medication selection in a setting of asthma. Mm-hmm. I watched Greg give a couple of talks. There are a number of other great resources. He wrote an outstanding op-ed in the New York Times called The Cruel Irony of Inhalers, talking about how, you know, the fact that people using their medications is making the climate around them worse, making it subsequently more difficult for them to breathe.
Hmm. So Dr. Fury, let me bring you into the conversation and let's step back for a minute and just talk about inhalers for folks who don't know much about them. What exactly is an inhaler and what does it do?
So inhalers are devices that allow patients with respiratory conditions like asthma or COPD to essentially have the medications that are used to treat those conditions delivered directly to their airways and lungs. So essentially by breathing in those medications, the medications go to the lungs where they can have the maximum benefit while minimizing side effects from those medications.
Okay, so then Dr. Fury, how important are inhalers then to people with asthma?
They're critical. They are essential life-saving medications for patients with asthma and COPD. They're essential for both preventing flares of those respiratory conditions, mm-hmm. but also for treating those flares when they do occur.
So then how do inhalers create these greenhouse gases?
So first of all, it's just a single type of inhaler called a meter dose inhaler. And those inhalers okay. have a pressurized gas in them called a propellant that essentially expels the medication out of the device itself and into the airways where a patient can then breathe it in. And it turns out that those propellants are potent greenhouse gases. So they have thousands times more warming ability than CO2, the most common greenhouse gas. And it's because of that really significant potent effect that they make a real contribution to climate change.
So you mentioned there's only one type of inhaler that creates these greenhouse gases. So are there alternatives to that particular inhaler?
So there are. The most common one is called a dry powder inhaler. And unlike the meter dose inhalers that use this pressurized gas, the dry powder inhalers, the medication is delivered to the airways simply by the patient essentially sucking on the device and pulling the medication into their airways. So because it doesn't require propellant, it doesn't produce the gases that contribute to climate change.
Do they work as well? And I'm thinking maybe in particular for kiddos, because you know, I know quite a few kids that have asthma issues, and I'm wondering, you know, how that would work for them.
So in general, the dry powder inhalers are as effective as meter dose inhalers for everyone but certain populations. And that does include particularly young children and people with very severe lung disease, because they're not able to generate that the pressure necessary to pull the medication into their lungs from the devices. So with those particular patient populations, we have to be careful to, and in general, we need to choose the inhaler type that is best suited for that individual.
So Dr. Fury, if you are a good patient for this dry powder inhaler, is it difficult though to convince someone to switch to a new inhaler?
So, well, first of all, I'd say one thing we have to be careful about is we don't want to blame patients or make them feel guilty about using their inhalers.
Right.
That's not the goal. And we want to make sure that people are using the best medication possible to treat their condition. I do think when we start to talk to patients about the impact that climate change is having on their health, as well as the impact treating certain conditions is having on climate change, and people begin to see that connection, they are open to the idea of switching to a new inhaler. The biggest challenge that we find in actually prescribing this is that many patients' options are limited by what their insurance will pay for. And sadly, that ends up being the biggest dictator of what inhaled drug delivery device we can choose for an individual patient.
That makes sense. So with that said, I mean, Dr. Sims, I mean, if you do have a patient that says, you know what, I do want to switch to this, but if the issue is then insurance, I mean, I think that could potentially hinder a lot of individuals from switching. So does there work need to be done in trying to convince insurance companies about this alternative?
Absolutely. And part of our campaign through St. Luke's and the Idaho Clinicians for Climate and Health, a organization focusing on climate and health that I started a few years ago, is to collect petitions from patients and providers and family members of patients to ask insurance companies and drug manufacturers to consider these costs in how they kind of preference medications. You know, we're fortunate at St. Luke's that we have these things called transition of care pharmacists or discharge pharmacists that, especially for patients that are in my clinical setting, the ER or inpatient, will go over medications with patients prior to discharge. And one of our speakers in our talk tomorrow is actually a transition of care pharmacist who has told me stories about how she has to ping insurance companies with sort of mock prescriptions over and over again to find the right one that works. That's still affordable, that's covered by their care. But she's also found that in her teaching and educating patients about dry powder inhalers versus these meter dose inhalers, most patients like them better. You know, with a meter dose inhaler, you have to time the spray and inhale just right. With a dry powder inhaler, if you click the button and you don't get the medication in at the right time, you have a chance to go back and do it again without sort of wasting a dose.
So, Dr. Sims, let's talk a little bit more about your part of your profession, which is integrating climate and sustainability. How do you do that in your practice every day?
It's tricky because there, you know, there are system-wide issues that I think are probably the most impactful thing we think of, and I think the hardest thing is for people that are interested in climate change and sustainability not to get crushed by the, I can't change the system, so I shouldn't even try to do anything. Because what I have found in looking at this topic for several years now is that the answer is always yes and. Yes, I can recycle this aluminum can that I used. No, that's not going to make all the difference in the world, but it is making a difference. Yes, I can switch my patient to a meter dose from a meter dose inhaler to a dry powder inhaler. And it seems like maybe that's not the hugest change, but we've seen from the National Health Service in the UK that these meter dose inhalers make up 3% of the carbon footprint of the national health system in the UK. So one little medication, 3% of their carbon emissions. And if we can look at St. Luke's prescribing practices, look at showing other people how to prescribe more carbon and climate smart, we can really make a huge impact. St. Luke's this coming year, as part of my new role as the medical director for sustainability, is going to really look at our waste and try to do a massive waste reduction campaign. Because I think one thing everyone sees when they go to the hospital is how much waste we generate. Everything's wrapped in plastic, everything's single use, but it doesn't need to be that way. And I think people that work and receive care there see that. With help of some consultings, with help of my partner, Stephanie Wicks, who's an engineer and our program manager for sustainability, I think we're going to be able to, you know, make some real impacts, and everyone can in everything they do in their day.
And finally, I think, Dr. Furey, something that you said really struck me, and that was, you know, let's not blame the patient, right? Because there is medication that they have to have. I mean, if you have asthma, I mean, this is, you need an inhaler. But then Dr. Sims, you know, said, so maybe we change practices on how we prescribe things as physicians. So, you know, how important is that, that we keep all of that in perspective?
Well, I think it's critical. And I think this came up at the beginning of this conversation, which is that this is essentially, this is an issue to which many people have been blind in the United States for a long time, doctors included. I think we're only beginning to generate awareness of this issue. And so it's going to take time to educate physicians, educate patients, and slowly change practices. So again, I think there are opportunities here. There are alternatives. We need to get all of the pieces of the puzzle together, the insurance piece, the prescribing practices and knowledge, and patient understanding about the relative importance of these alternative inhalers, but also the fact that they are essentially equivalent for most patients. And when we can do that, then we might be able to see some real change in our prescribing practices and our impact on the environment.
I want to thank you both for coming in today and talking with us about this fascinating conversation. Definitely learned something new. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing attention to this.
Yeah, thanks,
topic.
Gemma.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been talking with Dr. Ethan Sims, an emergency department physician with St. Luke's and medical director of sustainability, along with Dr. Greg Furey, a primary care physician and medical director for climate and sustainability at Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston. They're both part of St. Luke's talk tomorrow, Wednesday, on Climate Smart Asthma Care. We'll make sure we put a link to the talk on our website, voicestatepublicradio.org. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is Chip Brantley, co-host of the NPR podcast White Lies. Before we found the man in Vancouver, before we sued the State Department, before we snuck into the graveyard of a federal penitentiary, all we had were the photographs. Photographs of a group of Cuban men standing on the roof of a prison in rural Alabama. That's this season on the NPR podcast, White Lies.